Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to the Shepherd's Call. Tonight we're going to get into a very interesting, very intriguing, I believe, message. We're in the fourth part of the series of the consolations. The word Maseroth in the Bible means a zodiac, so we're going to look at this fourth installment, and we're in the consolation of Sagittarius, better known as the Archer. Now, Sagittarius consists of 69 stars, and in the sign of Sagittarius, we have the figure of a centaur, indicating the double-natured seed of the Virgin, or the Son of God as the Son of Man. The figure is that of a mighty warrior with a bow and arrow, riding forth majestically. The barbed arrow in his bow is aimed at the heart of the scorpion. John the Revelator, in his vision, he sees the mighty conqueror going forth, as it is quoted in Revelation 6 and 2. And behold, I saw a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When you read Revelation 6 and 2, right under the margin, Sagittarius, that's what he is referring to in the consolation. Psalmist David also wrote of this archer, who shall presently come forth all-powerful to war with the whole serpent brood. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow, saith David. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. Oh my, praise Yahweh. And all the men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. Psalm 64, verses 7 through 9. They shall consider his doing. Look at the work of this majestic hand as he spread forth the stars abroad by himself, numbered them, and called them all by name, painted us a love letter in the solar system, if you will, the 12 constellations, back to Jacob, the 12 sons of Israel. In Hebrew, the name of this constellation is Kasif, which means the archer. In Arab, Al-Klos, meaning the arrow. Now, the two names of the brightest stars are significantly Naam, which means the gracious one, and Nehushala, meaning the going or sending forth. My, my. In ancient Adatican, the name of the picture is Anuaki, meaning prince of the earth. Under this constellation in the ancient zodiac of Dendaraya, it is the word Kim in hieroglyphics, which means he who conquers. Now, according to this great constellation that has, as I said, 69 stars, Sagittarius, as it lays between the constellation of the goat, praise Yahweh, as it is going forth to conquer with the bow and the arrow, thus it is called the archer. We must understand the archer is at war with the scorpion and all the evil creatures that is associated with it, and is going forth is for their destruction, praise Yahweh. The figure is representative of the office and purpose of the glorified Christ to pierce and wound the serpent, to destroy all his works and power, and to disable him forever. The first of the three minor consolations in the sign of Sagittarius makes up the subject of praise for the conqueror. Now, the first in the series of the minor consolations within the great consolation of Sagittarius lays Lyra, the harp. It consists of 43 stars. Modern atlases depict the figure in this sign by an eagle holding the harp, or a harp placed over an eagle, representing triumphant song springing forth from the eagle, which is nothing but the vanisher and the destroyer of the serpent. Now, in other zodiacs, the constellation is marked by the figure of an eagle or hawk, the enemy of the serpent, who darts forth upon his prey from the heavenly heights with great suddenness and power. Now, the suddenness again accords with the saying described to Christ in the Gospel, as it is written in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." And when you are dealing with the constellation of Sagittarius, again, Revelation 22:12 shows you that he shall come quickly for the destruction of those that oppose. And for when they shall say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destructions which come upon them, as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. Now, Lyra contains one of the most superb of all the first magnitude stars, and its name is Vega, which means he shall be exalted. Its actual magnitude is very great, probably 100 times a greater magnification than our sun. Now get that. The sun, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, on a high noon day, it is incredibly bright in magnification, as we are only 93 million miles away, and yet Vega has, the sun star Vega, is 100 times the magnification power of the sun. About 14,000 years ago, Vega was the north polar star. At the time, it is supposedly of the building of the great altar, the pyramid in Giza in Egypt, according to Isaiah chapter 19, verse 19. And in the consequence and of the procession of the equinoxes, it will occupy once again the same position in about 11,000 years hence. Oh my, praise Yahweh. Now the other conspicuous stars between the fourth and fifth magnitudes are Shiluka, which means the eagle, and Selepet, meaning springing up or ascending, as in praise. Thus, the placing of the harp, the oldest of stringed instruments known during the time of Adam, recorded in Genesis 4:21, following the Sagittarius, connects preeminent gladness, joy, delight, and praise with the actions of the great archer. With his bow and arrow, thus he appears in this sign, answering to the Lamb as John held him in the fourth and fifth chapters of Revelation, receiving the universal song of praise, and I quote, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever," as it is recorded in Revelation 5, verse 13. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are in an awesome time. We are in a time of trouble. We need a deliverer. We need the man on the white horse. This is a sign of Sagittarius, the archer. As he comes in the constellation, he is the body of a horse and the head and shoulders of a man with a bow, a centaur, if you will, bringing forth destruction to the enemy. So thus, this is a very important part of the great construction of the Sagittarius, the archer, and the constellation of Sagittarius. Now, we're going to move into the great constellation of Ara as we go there, the second of the minor constellations. It consists of 9 stars, 3 of the third magnitude, and 4 of the fourth, and so on and so forth. 9 stars. Now, 9 is given the development of the building blocks of the resurrection, and thus we have the altar, a place where we can offer up and we can pray that we are worthy to escape his coming judgment. Now, if we go into the zodiac of Sagittarius, the great archer in history and legend and astronomy, the history of this constellation is somewhat different from any of the others. It is very unique, for there are two archers, as you will learn later. But first, I will tell you a little about the history and position of Sagittarius, which relates to the folklore that is associated with this great constellation. Now, Sagittarius, the archer, is really the figure of a centaur, that mythical creature, half horse and half man. This constellation lies west of Capricorn with its arrow ever aiming straight at the scorpion, which lies to the west of the archer. The horse's part, the hooves, rest in the richest part of the Milky Way. Oh, I love that. The horse's part, the hooves, rest in the richest part of the Milky Way. Ladies and gentlemen, our Redeemer cometh riding upon a horse. He is the archer, the centaur, that will destroy the enemy, the serpent, the scorpion, that would do harm to the Church of Yah. These stars were already known in very ancient times, as the ancient Chinese worshipped them 3,000 years before even the Christian era. And in India, there are records also going back over 3,000 years before Christ, liking these stars to a horse's head. You think somebody didn't know that the work of his hands, the declaration of his great love for a specific people, Jacob, his family, a peculiar people, one that is chosen and called by his name. Ladies and gentlemen, this great, massive love letter, the trouble that the Father went through to fling the stars into divine order, placing them strategically in the heavens and assigning them particular places as they are now in a fixed position eternally, declaring the end from the very beginning. I find it awesome. It is breathtakingly, brilliantly beautiful. It is indescribably how that the Father loved us from the very foundation before we came into this world, before we were born, as he noted in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, Jeremiah, before you came into your mother's womb, I knew you. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we have access to this valuable information. In the last days, the truth shall return. We shall restore that which has been stolen by our enemy. We have been blinded to the love letter in the sky, if you will, in the solar system, Yahweh's very, very, very graphic love letter to the house of Israel. Now, what amazes me about this great truth, what inspires me, what thrills my heart and gives me chills and thrills as I think about the awesomeness of the outlay of the solar system, wherein we have these 12 bands in the constellation, and within the constellation we have the three layers of animal bands as they revolve around us, praise Yahweh, and they declare unto us his eternal victory over Satan, or darkness, that is light manifesting through darkness and overcoming in the end. Yes, it's been a long, tedious battle. Yes, our days are full of trouble. As Job related in the scriptures, man that is born of a woman, few days and full of trouble. That after death, a judgment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, judgment begins at the house of Yah. That is you, the temple. So you are being judged daily for the procession of your own evolution as you go through your migrational habit of being drawn back to the Father and back to the throne from which you came. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, in reality, you're going back to where you came from. We're not caroling away from Yahweh as we extend, as we think into the future. Future is an illusion. We are headed back to the past. Remember, the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. And in this case, we are heading home. We're going back to the Father. We are going to be worthy participants to sit with him in his throne, as he recorded in the book of Revelation. Come up here and sit with me until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Thus, in the great consolation of Sagittarius, we have this great archer as he is bending back the bow, making the shot clear for the heart of the scorpion to destroy our enemy that came out to sever the connection that we had and make the path obscure to hide from us the knowledge that will save us. As it is recorded in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6 again, I often allude to this great passage in the Bible. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, since you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. All day long, Yahweh holds out his hand of knowledge in his great display of the bands of the consolation and say, here, look up, children. Look and see what I have done for you in the position of the stars. Take time to actually see and behold. It is I have declared the end from the beginning. I'm going forth and conquering. I shall overcome your enemies. And take no thought or no fear of what you shall eat, or what you shall wear, or where you shall go. For all these things doeth the Gentiles, the heathen, seek after. But ye little children, not so, for I shall supply your every need. I shall be there in the sixth hour, and I will not forsake you in the seventh. I shall go with you all the way, even to the end of the earth. I will hunt down your enemies, and I will destroy them that oppose you. I will make your enemies your footstool, and you shall reign over them, and you shall tread down the ashes of the wicked. Oh, hallelujah! As I feel the great anointing of the Shekinah coming down into my very being tonight, knowing that I have purposed in my heart to serve him until the great day of the reckoning, when Sagittarius, the archer, shall wound or bruise or destroy the heart of the serpent and his power. Of course, we are given into his hand for a season and a season and a season and a half a season. Why? Because there is an allotted time that Satan must have to do his work. His job is to kill. His job is to steal. His job is to destroy those that have inheritanceship, if you will, apprenticeship with the Father. And so, ladies and gentlemen, anything that can detour you or sidetrack you or derail your appointed destiny or your mission of making it safely home to the Father. But listen in the scriptures as it is recorded. The eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh hath laid up for them that love and serve him. Now directly above your head in the night sky, the stars declare his glory. With just a little imagination, you can see the great picture that is brought forth by the ancient knowledge of the ancients, meaning that the sons of Seth, the master astrologers and the master astronomers, as they charted the heavens, drew up this very, very wonderful plan of a pictorial information from the heavens given to you exclusively by your heavenly Father and those associated with the knowledge. Satan came in and stole that which was good, turned and convinced us that it was witchcraft by the Bell Box Ministerial Association of Satan, and turned our heart away from the truth and realities of the giant love letter that Yahweh writ to us, and turned us into bowing the knee and dropping our heads to Baal and looking at the things of tradition, the false pagan days, as he went and changed times and seasons for the very express purpose of destroying the elect, if possible. Here are a few words about the centaur that came to Greece from the far cold north, where they were the great cloud horses of the sun. Those who tamed them loved them and desired the strength of these heavenly horses so much that they became part of them. Thus the centaur became a half-horse and a half-human. That is what the message tells us. In reality, it shows you the divine nature that this man with the heart of a horse. Remember, a horse goes forth to battle not fearing the death or the arrows coming his way. The horse will ride its master or owner right into the heat of the battle. It has no fear. Why? Because it is given this obedient position of thought that it might serve its master. Therefore, Yahweh became the horse that carried us the love of his very being, Jacob Israel, the heartbeat, the apple of his eye. We are the unique ones. We are the chosen ones. We are the apple of his eye, as I've indicated, and the pride and joy of his very being. For this cause, he laid down his life as the horse would go to battle, slayed into the arrows and the onslaught of the enemy, never fearing for his own life. And thus, the nature of Yahweh as he rushes toward the enemy, no fear. Laying down his own life, as it depicted in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. And the evidence was that the Word became flesh in the 14th verse. In the 10th verse, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. For this cause, I bow my knee every day to the great power, to the love of my life, Yahweh. And I worship him who made heaven and earth, and all the stars, the sun and the moon, and the earth and the sea, and all that is therein. For this wonderful cause, I worship this great creator, not the creatures that man has been given up to worship at the vile affections and change the times and seasons, and thus become a part of the problem, not the solution. Our objective tonight to you, Jacob Israel, is that we may give you information that will cause you to look up from whence you came or from whence you are hewn. Praise Yahweh. Now, we're going to pause for a short break, and we will be at the bottom of the hour here. Praise Yahweh. And we're coming right back. This is Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. You're listening tonight live and direct on Truth Radio. Glad to have you aboard. We'll be back in the second half after two. You call a friend and tell them Pastor Buddy's on the air. We'll be right back with the second half of the show. And tonight we're in Sagittarius, the centaur, the archer, if you will. And we're going to pick up in the second of the series of the minor constellations of the altar where we worship our Father. Be back in two. Praise Yahweh. God bless you with a word. Welcome back to the Shepherd's Call, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you aboard tonight. We're in a mighty good message tonight. We're on the Sagittarian examples of the heavens as they declare the work of his hands. And we are in the second of the series of the minor constellation of the great place of Sagittarius. We are of Ara, the altar. As I said, it consists of nine stars. Nearly all the star charts show the figure of an altar covered with burning fire. To denote this constellation, the fire is burning downward significantly toward the Lord of Darkness called Tartarus, known as the Outer Darkness, the area toward the covered and invisible South Pole. The word Ara was sometimes used by the Greeks to imply a curse, or the effect of a curse, or ruin, or destruction. But in the zodiac of Dendariah, the figure is different but carries the same basic ideal. There we have a throned human figure wielding a flail over a jackal, the unclean and the cunning animal of darkness. The jackal, often identified with the dragon, is being threshed, bruised, punished, and brought under dominion and judgment. The throne figure has a name, a U, which signifies the coming one, the same as it is in Scorpio. We can see depicted in this constellation a coming judgment, symbolizing the burning altar and the coming one enthroned with the threshing instrument. Revelation foretells of this oncoming or overcoming of the dragon, as it is written in Revelations 20:2, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The ultimate judgment then followed, and the devil, that old serpent, that crafty one, the snake, that scorpion that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and forever, according to Revelation 20 and verse 10. Now, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it wonderful that we have an altar in heaven where that we can bow the knee to Yahweh, and we can give purpose and direction to the meaning of our Heavenly Father, that we are called, chosen, and faithful, and we shall overcome by His blood, by His power, and by the might of His warlike ability to overcome Satan, as he beheld Satan as lightning fell from the very heaven. Now, we're going to move in very quickly now, as we are down to the last segment of the consolation. And we are now going to give you one of the most important, if you will look in to the constellation here of Draco, or the dragon. It consists of 80 stars. The figure of this constellation, Draco, is a great serpent wound about at least one half of the northern sky. Now get this, one half of the northern sky. His tail alone, extending over the territory of the third part of the stars. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I find this amazing. When you go into the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, and I would that you go there and study where Satan was cast out, that old dragon, the serpent, was cast out of heaven, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now, here it is, written by Yahweh in the heavens long before the advent of this actually happening, Yahweh declaring the end from the beginning. I am absolutely amazed that most people don't have the ability to connect the astrology or the position of the stars in their interpretation of the astronomy position that Yahweh drew by his own hand, a giant serpent in the northern half of the sky, his tail drawing or casting down through the territory of the third part of the stars. So thus the Greek name Draco for this sign means the trodden on. The dragon shall thy trample under thy feet, according to David in Psalms 91:13. Isn't it wonderful? David was referring to the consolation of Draco in Sagittarius. In Revelations chapter 20, it was referring to the dragon being overcome and cast down. In Revelations chapter 12, again, the astrological signs is being indicated again that his tail, which drew the third part of the stars of heaven, meaning the angels that sinned with him, were cast out of heaven. Now the heavens itself declares the work of his hands, the Bible said. Ladies and gentlemen, can you pass up this valuable information? Can you turn your head away from these eternal truths? Can you, like the ostrich, bury your head in the sand as the bellbox ministers have told you that astrology is witchcraft? And that we shouldn't do these things? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you tonight, that's what they want you to do, and that's why that Daniel himself was one of the, if not the, one of the, because we believe that Job was the greatest astrologer, after Yahweh himself, and then Daniel. Where are you standing tonight? Remember, was the wise astrologers, those that had seen his star in the east, interpreted it. Interpretation is astrology, meaning the movement, position, and the very meaning of the stars. The wise men, the angels, thus became aware of the star. He saw his star in the east. And this is the star system that we talked about in the star system of Leo and Virgo. When they bound together at that beginning, they positioned and fixed his star, knew exactly where on earth he would be, the locale, came and found him laying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And there they presented to him the gifts due to a king. For unto you this day a Savior is born, Christ, Yahweh Shua, and he shall become great, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. For he is, as it is depicted in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, a Son born into the earth, his name, Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Look up into the heavens and declare the work of his hands. Now, thus, we are looking at the accursed one in the Denari. This sign is shown as a serpent under the forefoot of Sagittarius, and is named Herphant, which means the serpent accursed. The most prominent star is the one in the latter coils. It's named in Hebrew, Thuban, which means the subtle one. About 4,600 years ago, Thuban was the north polar star, and much closer to the true pole than Polaris is at the present time. This star is now below the third magnitude, but is believed to have once been as bright as Polaris. It still possesses a great interest because of the mysterious downward sloping passage in the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt points to the place that it occupied in the sky when it was the polar star. Thuban, in the tail of the serpent. It is believed that the star could have been seen by day as well as by night from the bottom of the passage deep beneath the foundation of the mighty pile of stone, the 13-acre edifice, as a monument to Yahweh and the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm just getting blown away tonight with a great feeling of compassion that I feel bubbling up in my heart, knowing that a loving Creator loved us good enough that he gave us this awesome information, hid it from the wise and the prudent, and revealed it to babes and to sucklings. Here I am with an eighth grade education. I was sort of like David when David went up to visit his brothers in the war as Israel was being delayed from victory by the great giant Goliath. David was sent by his father, Jesse, to see how the sons fared. He was sent to carry their lunch to them, if you will. And David, being a ignorant man and only the ability to defend the sheepfold, which again is in the consolation, praise Yahweh, of the heavens, showed and depicted as the great keeper of the sheepfold. That's what the Messiah, and David was a perfect type, and he also is a perfect type. As David went up, carried the lunch to the brothers, set the lunch bucket down, and we used to call it the syrup bucket. That's what we used to pack our lunch in the 40s. And into the 50s, we packed our lunch. My mother could not afford, we couldn't afford those store-bought lunchbox. I don't even know where they was available then. They probably was. We certainly didn't have the money. But we bought syrup in a 1 or 2 pound pail, metal pail with a lid on it and a handle. And so then we all could look forward to graduating as we emptied the syrup bucket, and that didn't take long for us back then, as in a house of 12 people, and then we had workers to come in daily to work on the farm there, we would empty the syrup pail very quickly. And the next one down the line got a syrup bucket. We didn't have paper bags or plastic in that day. And so then we carried our lunch to school in the syrup bucket. So Davy took the meal or the lunch to the brothers that were fighting for Israel. Found the brothers cowered down with Israel, and there, in defiance, the giant stood against Israel. And of course, David took the sword, which is the sword of Orion in the constellation of Orion, and he took the five smooth stones, and there, which depicts the name, you see the four consonants in Hebrew, are written in Hebrew for a purpose. David only used one of those stones as he flung it into the forehead of the giant and killed him. Thus he took the sword of Orion, cut off the head of the dragon, that old serpent depicted here as Goliath. And so the centaur, this great message of the battle in the heavens through the star system, carried or replayed, if you will, upon the earth many times. And ladies and gentlemen, be not forgetful, for Yahweh shall win the battle. Now, notice a bright star in the head is called Ithian, which means the long serpent or dragon. Another bright star also in the head is called Rabastan, meaning the head of the subtle one. In the Arabic, it is called Al-Wad, which means he who is destroyed. The Hebrew names of other stars and their meaning are Guriaman, the subtle, and Gansar, the enemy. And the Arabic names of the stars in Draco have similar meanings to names a few: Al-Dilb, the reptile; Al-Alkin, the fraudful; and Al-Isha, the bowed down or conquered one. Draco thus represents the sly and creeping deceiver, the devil called the dragon, the old serpent. He destroys by stealth, smoothly gliding in to betray, insinuating his poison. The dragon and the serpent are one and the same, but are manifested in different ways. No man ever saw a dragon, living or dead. Yet, all men talk of the dragon. In all ages, this symbol, image, is the evil power, has figured very conspicuously in man's myths, traditions, and in his art and literature. Now, evil, the dragon, symbolized being vanished or vanquished by the works of God, hero, saint, or such. Yet there is nothing in earthly zoology to explain or account for such a creature. Mythology says that the dragon is the power that guarded the golden apples in the famous garden of the Hesperides, hindering men from getting to them. Does this not symbolize the devil, the old serpent, the dragon who deceived Adam in the garden as Eve, and thus kept mortal men from the true fruits of the tree of life? Mythology says also that the dragon was slain by Hercules. Isn't this portrayed in the astrological sign of the promised seed of the woman, the coming one out of the constellation of Virgo? He who is pictured with his foot on the head of the dragon? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have this interesting aspect of Isaiah as we look into the 27th chapter and the first verse, which refers to the time when Yahweh shall come, and he will come with a great and strong sword, and shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, and he shall slay the dragon. The psalmist David also wrote of God breaking the head of Leviathan in pieces, and breaking the head of the dragon, referring exactly to Draco here in the consolation, as it is recorded in Psalms 74, 13, and 14. Don't tell me that these great men were not astrologers. They were. Chapter 4 ends with the first section of the celestial book we have seen pictured in the person and the work and the triumph of the illustrious Redeemer, the proceeding and the succeeding group consisting of Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. Thus, they were accompanying minor constellations, relates to the fruits of his work, the prophecy of the promised deliverer, which is coming upon the clouds, and his work is with him. Now, as often with Sagittarius, He is called the Bull Killer, for when he rises, Taurus sets. When Sagittarius rises, Taurus and the constellation begins to set. Now, let's go to the ancients who tell of the arranged stars in heaven in their proper places so that the people could be guided by them in their voyages and their seasons could come in at the right time and in always divine order. I have said before that there is a difference between the ninth and the other constellations, and this is the difference. There are two archers in the sky. The other is called Centaurus and is in the southern part of the heavens. The tale that follows will tell you how it came to be there. Now remember, one in the north and one in the south. Isn't that awesome? That Israel and Judah are the two archers by which Yahweh shall beat down his enemies. Now, astrology has many good words about those born under the sign of the archer between November the 23rd and December the 22nd. First, there is a religious Christian meaning in Sagittarius, ever aiming his arrow at the heart of Scorpius. It is in symbolic meaning of the good angel slaying Satan, he who is forever tempting mankind. As for those born under this famous constellation, they are said to be under the protection of heaven and to follow the spirit of truth and righteousness. The men are believed to be full of courage and good judges of character, with gifts of the highest qualities, wisdom, and foresight. Astrology also describes these born under this sign as happy, jovial, frank, and of a positive nature. Since they are said to have intense, active minds, they look to their own affairs without side help. The women are said to be fine homebodies to keep to their own affairs, to be bright in conversation, and very reliable. The carbuncle is the gem of the sign, though some say it is the amethyst. The color is yellow, and the flower is the golden rod. Praise Yahweh. Well, we're finding out about the great constellation and those who are born under it, and we are now in the series of, we are entering into the age of a time when all these prophetic utterances shall be made known. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, my mailing address is simply Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. That's 37824. And my telephone number, if you would like to contact me here at the Shepherd's Call, simply call area code 423-626-2172. And you are free and privileged to pass this information on to whomever that you would so desire to get these tapes. They are not copyrighted. They're free to distribute to anyone that you see, know, or hear about for the love and the sake of saving a few that will hear the wonderful truths that Yahweh's laid up for them that love and serve him. Now, if you'd like to help me with your tithes and offerings, I need all the help that I can get. Of course, you know the way I preach, I get very few to support me. If you would like to become an active member of Tithing and Support, your support would be deeply appreciated if there's no strings attached. I am Yahweh's free man, bought and paid for by no man, preaching the gospel of the everlasting kingdom, and for that cause, I bow my knee graciously to Yahweh and appreciate and love those who support my cause. In the name of Yahweh, and great to be with you tonight, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call on Truth, live and direct. You have a good one there, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the continuation of our message in the Constellations of Jacob Israel. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.